Jackie McMullen, Tim Kalishaw, Clinton Yates, great to have you here. Basketball is a game of runs. I believe I've heard that from you before. I believe you've written that before. But how teams go from so good to so bad to so incredible so fast, and how Jamal Murray's clutch meter is growing in this postseason, and how the Nuggets now are in this series. Number one takeaway from Denver 114, LA 106 last night. Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you.
My number one takeaway is that we can all sit here and acknowledge that the Lakers' two superstars are better than anybody else's two superstars. And a lot of times, that's all the NBA comes down to. Mm-hmm. But Denver's two, whatever they are, whatever kind of stars level they are, and I think Jokic is super and Murray's trying to get there in these playoffs, for long stretches, they can be as difficult to guard and they can cause as many problems as anybody else's top two. And if anybody thought this team was going to fold up after losing a really tough game too, when you lose on an Anthony Davis fall-away three-pointer that you'll let him take all game long, and instead they play a game where they're leading by 20 points. I mean, Murray's hitting shots that are scraping the ceiling like a Steph Curry shot, and Jokic, I think Jokic with his passing does as many things as he does with his scoring and rebounding. So they're a remarkable team, and they're going to stick around for a while.
Sounds like, though, you're stopping short of calling Murray a superstar, which Mike Malone called him last night after the game, but you're not going there?
When I just look at his regular season numbers and a guy who hasn't been in a single All-Star game yet, I think he's moving in that direction. Let's see it for a full season. He's certainly playing at that level in the bubble.
Jackie McMullen, what did you see from the Nuggets last night in the win? And what are you seeing from Jamal Murray?
Well, I'm seeing from Jamal Murray what everybody had forecasted when I went down there a few years ago to do a story on him. I remember Doc Rivers telling me he was going to lead the league in scoring someday. What was he missing? He was missing consistency. I think he's been very, very consistently amazing throughout this postseason. And when they gave him the big extension last year, I don't know if you remember, people were saying, is he really worth it? Yes, he's really worth it. Now, if you're the Lakers, you've got to be concerned about the amount of turnovers throughout this series. Actually, throughout the postseason, they're the team that has the most turnovers per game left among the final four. And I'm a little concerned, too, about fatigue if I'm the Lakers closing out games. So do I think that Jamal Murray's a superstar? Yes, I do. Now, I understand everybody else wants to wait and see. That's fine. These guys are for real. They're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And Clinton Yates.
You know, when the bubble started, I said that Murray was the most underrated player in the NBA. And I think now that
looks pretty good right now. Yeah.
We can no longer be surprised by what that is that he brings to the table. But for me, this was just the Nuggets winning a game. Malone presses a lot of buttons. Jeremy Grant has a huge day, gets to the free throw line a whole bunch. And Michael Porter Jr. has a great game as well. This, to me, was a good team retooling after a tough loss and figuring it out. I was not expecting the Lakers to blow through the Nuggets by any means in this series. And this was a rebound game and a good one for Denver.
Okay. Jackie, talk to me about the adjustments and the adjustments to the adjustments, because by nature of being up 2-1, Lakers do have some command over the series, but if you split it up by the quarters, it's almost an even series. You know, Denver clearly could have won game two, so adjustments by both teams that need to be made.
Well, I thought Anthony Davis, I was watching the game, and I always have my laptop with the box score during the game, and I'm like, this dude doesn't have a rebound. It was the fourth quarter. So Anthony Davis knows he needs to do more. LeBron James knows how to get that team motivated. I will say this. This is kind of a classic game three when you're up 2-0 and you've been there before the way LeBron has. Mm-hmm. Sometimes teams, they don't mean to, but it's human nature. They take their foot off the pedal a bit. I do not expect that to be the case in game four with the Lakers.
Okay. But there's nothing historical about what the Nuggets have done with resilience and coming back in series. That's nearly the last team you want to do that to. Take your foot off the pedal. Kalishaw on adjustments.
You bet.
Well, I mean, I just think the Lakers have to get something from someone on a consistent level besides LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mean, who is the Lakers' third best players? We could probably debate that between five different guys, because sometimes Kuzma or Rondo or Caruso or somebody might play pretty well, and sometimes they barely show up. And I think last night, a lot of those guys barely showed up for too long of a stretch.
Clint Yates.
I don't have any huge concerns for the Lakers. The Nuggets shot 60-plus percent in that first quarter. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen again in this series. They were hot last night, and they won the game. I think the Lakers are fine. They just got to tighten it up.
The return of Celtics heat, if they remember how to play basketball. This has been a layoff you don't really see in a postseason series. The question is, the way Miami closes games out with their energy at the end of the games, and Boston may be lacking there because of their rotation, did this mini vacation help Boston? Jackie, you think the layoff affects Boston? How do you think it affects both teams? Let me ask you that.
I don't think the layoff made a huge advantage one way or the other, but if you ask me to lean one way, I think I would lead to the Celtics simply because of this. Gordon Hayward had been injured. He wasn't playing. Then he came out in game three and played 30 minutes. Are you kidding me? You don't think he was a little sore the next day? So he's a guy more than anybody in this series that could use the added rest. Also, because Gordon Hayward's back, Stevens is going to really lean on his top six guys a lot more, I believe. So some of those other guys that you saw on the court, they're not going to get as many minutes. That means your top six get more.
Mm-hmm. So layoff doesn't really affect, but if it did, you'd say Boston. Now, what is the X factor, the determining factor? What's going to tip tonight's game?
Well, I really think it's, you know, moving the ball for the Celtics. When they move the ball, make the extra pass, they break that zone. But the truth is this, both of these teams win when they play elite defense. And whoever plays better defense tends to be, if you look at the metrics of both of these teams. So the Celtics, we talk about their offense, but they just really need to clamp down defensively. Mm-hmm. That's been proven through the metrics.
Is that what you see, Tim Kalisha? Whoever plays better defense? Or is it whoever plays better in the fourth quarter? Which is something we've seen in all the series, really.
It seems to be just defending in the fourth quarter and hitting some shots in the fourth quarter. It's a weird series that we talk about. The Celtics have led for more than 110 minutes out of three games, and they've led a lot, but they're still down 2-1. I don't think we should dismiss what Miami does at the end of the games. I actually think it's a real small deal, but the layoff may help a team that really relies on those tough defensive minutes from Crowder and Butler and Bam and the rest. Yeah, and maybe getting a little bit of a break. The Celtics did a really good job on Dragic. I would think Eric Spoelstra would have had a couple days to figure out, all right, let's counter that with this. And so I think Miami comes back with a lot of fire tonight.
Clinton, we'll bring you in here on the idea that Boston has led for the majority of this series, but clearly Miami looks like a better team in fourth quarters than just about any team we've ever seen in playoff history. I mean, by their record in the playoffs. What is the determining factor tonight?
I think the determining factor is Jaylen Brown. If he can manage to get to the rack. I mean, the guy went to the rack, I think, 11 times in the first two games. He got there like 20 times last game. And he scored 60 points in the paint, which was by far the most that he'd have given up in the playoffs. So that, to me, is the biggest factor. I understand what Jackie's saying about moving the ball, but I think an aggressive Jaylen is what makes this Celtics team good right now in this particular matchup, as it showed last game. I mean, and also, as for rest, I think the person that comes to mind when I think about that is probably Iguodala, who hasn't played in the second half of the series so far. But other than that, I think aggressive Celtics team definitely is going to win this game tonight.
Sounded like Kalisha was leaning Miami Heat. Is that right, Tim? Can I put words in your mouth?
That is correct. Leaning the Heat tonight.
How about you, Yates?
Celtics, I think.
Jackie?
I'm going to take the Celtics, but I think it's going to be another game right down to the buzzer. These two teams are both great.
These two teams only play those types of games, it seems. All right. Thank you. We'll move on. Now, a moment to remember Gale Sayers. What an athlete. What a beautiful athlete. And what a legend whose healthful prime was far too short. But just taking these images, I was saying this earlier, we now measure everybody over how they were versus their competition, the value over an average player or over a replacement player. There are few people in the history of the game who look so superior to everyone else on the field than Sayers here, right? Look at this. Tim Kalisha, do you remember watching Sayers play?
You know, barely, because oddly enough, back in that day, putting the kids up on my knee here for a second, we watched Sayers play in person, and the Bears didn't come to the Cotton Bowl to play the Cowboys, right. And there weren't Monday night, he missed Monday Night Football. He was almost out of the league by 1970. He barely played a couple games that year. But, I mean, we obviously saw highlights, and he came into the league right the year Jim Brown was leaving. I think they overlapped by a year. And there were a lot of things about him that he was going to be the next Jim Brown. And I think he could have been without the injuries. But even with those, he and Dick Butkus took a bad Bears team that never amounted to anything. But they established their greatness just with the plays they made.
Jackie, Tim's right. There was no national TV package. Certainly was no red zone. There was no fantasy. And he would have been great his first couple of years. So maybe you didn't see him play as much as you could. You've seen the images. You know the legend of Gale Sayers.
Well, that's it. You know, I saw Gale Sayers play on the grainy footage that I needed to do to complete my football education to do this job, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yet you heard about him because whenever you talk to any of the current players, especially the ones that know the history of the game, they talked about Gale Sayers with such reverence because he was such an incredible talent whose you know, career was cut short way too soon. Imagine that this beautiful player never played in a playoff game, Tony. Never made it to the playoffs, which is amazing. And imagine, too, you know, it wasn't just that he was a running back. The way he ran back kicks, everything he did was somewhat magical. And, of course, everyone saw Brian's song. I mean, I bawled like a baby. I think I watched it 8 times. So you know about the kind spirit of Gale Sayers as well. Real big loss, obviously, for the world of football.
Mm-hmm. Clint Yates.
Gale Sayers is a guy that in my household is very exalted for one simple reason. He was my dad's favorite running back. When you think about the players that you learn about through the lineages of your family and your friends, Gale Sayers was always that dude that my father looked at as very admirable, never mind a great player, you know, the sort of modern running back that we see then. Now, he compared every single guy that we saw on TV to Gale Sayers as to whether or not they were as good as him. I'm going to remember him fondly because, again, he was a guy that in my household was revered, very much so.
Absolutely. Seeing those highlights, looking at him carry the football. I know it was a different time back then, but I'm more careful with my cell phone, and I am not careful with myself. He's carrying the football like this. He's up over here. It's an incredible thing. And, Jackie, you bring up Brian's song. You know, sometimes when we want to remember somebody, we say a movie, you know, somebody who – and sometimes the movie, it's not – it's part of the life, but it's not really based on it. Who knows what the real – but just that friendship between Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers there. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, a remarkable player, and by all accounts, a remarkable man. I mean, regal would be a word I think many of us would use to describe him as we thought about him over the last decades after his football career. Thanks for your thoughts. Taking a break right here. When we come back, the very curious and bizarre case of Tyrod Taylor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The information coming in from the L.A. Chargers and Tyrod Taylor and the chest injury he suffered pregame Sunday, which caused him to miss his start. It was caused, reportedly, by the team doctor who accidentally punctured Taylor's lung while administering a pregame pain-killing injection. NFLPA aware and investigating. Hearing that and throwing that into the entire LA Chargers quarterback position, what position is the team in right now, Tim Kalshaw?
First of all, I mean, you feel sorry for Taylor, and it reminds you of what these players go through, things we never think about, things we never hear about, just to get out on the field sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now, having gone through all that, what do they do if Justin Herbert, who had a nice game and almost beating the Chiefs, continues to play well? Do you go back because it seems unfair that Taylor got this injury in this way, or do you do what you think is best for the team? I think you have to be on the side of best for the team, but that's a tough situation for Tyrod.
Clint Yates?
I would qualify this as alarming on a couple different levels. I mean, he was getting a pain injection because he had cracked ribs, which he was apparently going to play with. And also, the Chargers' history with doctors is very dicey. Going back to 2017 and other years, I don't love that. As for the quarterback situation, little known fact, that game got a higher rating in LA than the Lakers game did that day because people want to see Herbert. Are you telling me he had a nice game? This dude clearly is capable of leading this team. They probably should have won that daggone thing. So I don't think there's any decision from a quarterback standpoint. You play the kid, but the rest of it, very concerning for sure.
Okay. Jackie McMullen?
Yeah, this is just a bad story all the way around. And Clinton, you talk about alarming that he's going to get a pain injection where his ribs. I guarantee you was not the only one in that locker room that needed some kind of injection to go out on the field. That's the dirty little secret of the NFL. We've known that for many years, hearing from players after the fact. In terms of what you do next, man, the NFL is a cold business. I was around New England when Drew Bledsoe had his chest nearly sheared in half. And then a young guy named Tom Brady filled in for him and, of course, never, ever gave up the job again. That's how the business works.
We talked about this story Monday, and now some light has been shed on why Anthony Lynn was so pronounced with, you know, it's Taylor's job to lose because he knew the team was at fault here. That's the team is at fault. And whether I've seen mixed reports here, you can't sue it, but through the contracts of players, you can't sue a team here. But if someone's going to qualify this, I don't have the power to use this word, but if someone were to use the word negligent, that a lung was punctured during this, I don't know. It's really alarming, as you said, Yates. We'll move on. Buy or sell two in Philadelphia. This exchange between Doug Peterson about Carson Wentz and his media availability.
Some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup.
Philly Voice reporter Jimmy Kempsky asking that question. How do you hear that, Clinton Yates?
I hear this like a guy who thinks his job is on the line and is trying to blame the media. Deuce Daly, come on down. You know, but, I mean, come on. That line, I have not done. Put it on a T-shirt and I'll buy it and wear it on this show because that was legendary. Good job out of you.
So it's, in your opinion, not fair for a coach to question that question?
No. What is the point of asking somebody if they've played in the NFL? That has absolutely nothing to do with how putrid this offense looks. They're getting false starts at home in the fourth quarter when there's not even a crowd there. Get your team together, Doug, and stop blaming the guys that are asking you questions.
Jackie McMullen?
Wow, Clinton, I guess you don't like the Philadelphia Eagles, huh?
They're not good.
No, they aren't. And I think this is a coach maybe protecting his quarterback a little bit, who we know has been under fire even when they've been winning. He's somewhat of a controversial guy that way, even in his own locker room. I don't love this, but I do know, I hear this from coaches all the time, that they think we're all know-it-alls, that it's never experienced anything, and I get that. But I still don't love it.
Do you believe it's an unfair question, Jackie?
I will say this. I don't know if you should call the throws layups. So maybe that's what Tebow objected to, and he had a better way of handling that, I think.
And Tim, how about you?
I believe it's fine for the coach to say these really aren't layups out here. And I would also say that I think it's clear, whether even though he had a bad game Sunday, and there's no question about that, Carson Wentz has been somewhat over-maligned in Philadelphia for the 3 years
you think
going into his fourth year that he's been there. You think? Oh. Yeah.
Thanks. All right. Well, I mean, there's some people who believe he's been under maligned. Like, he's been given this job although someone else won a Super Bowl. Someone else has won a Super Bowl for Philadelphia recently. Okay, fine.
We got to
move on. Buy or sell three, baseball, all the clinchings. It's hard to keep up with all the clinchings. Yeah, the Cubs, yeah, the Braves winning the East. Cleveland on the Jose Ramirez home run. His MVP case is hot right now. The Dodgers, the one seed. And for that, all the spoils that go with being the one seed, which I don't know what the spoils are. Maybe, Clinton, you could tell us. Or does LA not get enough of a postseason advantage for being the best team in baseball?
There's no spoils at all if you don't even get to play in your own ballpark after the first series. This is going to be a very interesting test for a lot of different teams. And I think that the Dodgers are a team that, again, you're not getting much out of it because the AL is going to be playing in Dodger Stadium. This is very
Jackie?
Weird. I'm very interested to see how Doc does this.
Well, let me play reverse psychology here. We know that the Dodgers have had home field in the past, and it hasn't gotten them where they wanted to go.
All right.
Maybe there's a lot of pressure playing in front of home fans that are very discerning and waiting for the first Clayton Kershaw pitch that goes bad. Maybe this will play in their favor. Who knows?
TC?
I hate 16-team baseball playoffs, and what I hate about them most is that the team with the best record still has to go win three series just to get to the World Series. It's not fair.
baseball already had the most arbitrary postseason. And they're like, we can go more. We can go more arbitrary. Speaking of arbitrary, some might say the scoring on the show is arbitrary, Jackie. I would never put those words in your mouth. You're the first to be eliminated.
The scoring is arbitrary.
Showdown next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tip Callahan, Shaw, Clinton Yates. Good luck in showdown, gentlemen. The Chicago Bulls making a hire today. Billy Donovan as head coach. Straight from one team to another team in the same offseason. Love when that happens. Tim, how much better did Chicago just get? How much sense does this make?
Well, I think it makes sense for Chicago. The guy just tied with the other Budenholzer on the coach's vote for coach of the year. It's going to take time, though. It's still all about getting the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Carlos Tevez came in as the GM, everybody was very excited because he is a brilliant mind who's been around the game for a while. Then he hires Billy Donovan. Okay, Billy Donovan's a good coach, but the splash factor I don't think is there for people who are looking for that big Bulls rebuild that they've been waiting so many years.
Who would be a splashy hire, if I can ask you that, Clinton?
D'Antoni, Calipari, I don't know.
Okay, that's true. I know you said he was coach of the year, but Nick Nurse won the coach of the year that the coaches don't vote on.
Right,
and that
right.
is the rightful owner of coach of the year. We'll give the point to Yates then. We'll move on. Showdown two. Fashion showdown. You ready? Let's go. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. The holes in the sweatshirt Belichick wore today and the cutoff sleeves and the neck versus the jersey robe we saw Nelson Cruz model last night, playoff robes Josh Donaldson gifted the Twins with. You could only wear one for the rest of your life. What will it be, Clint Yates?
If I could only wear one, it's got to be the hoodie, but we need to take some time to extol the virtues of that robe because it is tremendous. Josh Donaldson gave those to the team. You, my friend, are the team MVP.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with the one with the holes in it. We all have something. We try not to wear it on the air too often, but it has holes in it. It's comfortable. You've lived in it. Means something to you. Go with it.
For somebody who's worn the same shirt every single day, I respect that. Are there holes in your shirt right now, Tim Kalisha? Take the FaceTime, TC. 30 seconds.
Oh, we give a lot of love on this show and other shows do as well to Luka Doncic, a fabulous player for the Mavericks. We need to pay a little more attention to a Dallas Star defenseman who is 5 months younger than Doncic. Mm-hmm. Eero Heiskanen from Finland. He leads the NHL in minutes played in the bubble. He leads the Stars in scoring. He's fourth in the league in scoring. If they win it, he may be your Conn Smythe winner. 21-year-old Miro.
If they win it, the man from Dallas says, you got him, right?
If they win it.
That's it. We're done. Tomorrow.